Kuvdalid Amid Beis, and we learned the Mishnah, and we just began to study the Sugis HaGemara. The Gemara, based on the Mishnah had established that Parim HaNisrafim, if the Srefa was Shaloki Mitzvason, then they burn it Bebeis HaBira. My Bira, the Gemara asks, what is Bira? And the Gemara quotes a statement here of Rabbi Yochanan, that there's a place somewhere on the Harabayas which is called a Bira. Reish Lakish said that anywhere on the Harabayas is considered a Bira. Now the Gemara, this is where we stopped last time, wants to clarify where was the Beis HaDeshen for general Kodshim, not for Parim HaNisrafim, but general Kodshim that became Psulim, and as well for Parim U'Seirim HaNisrafim. And let's just point out that the Gemara later on is going to establish that the Sreifa in the case of Shalokim Mitzvason in Parim HaNisrafim in the Harabayis only applies if the Psul occurred after Zrika. If not, then the Sreifa is within the Azorah. And for example, you may have a situation where there was a Psul that took place with the Parim HaNisrafim before they left the Azorah. There too, the Sreifa has to take place in the Azorah. But we're talking about a case where the Psul took place after the Yetziah from the Azorah, after the Zrika, and the Sreif has to take place in the Bira, somewhere in the Harabayas. What about the case of Beis HaDeshen? Where is the Beis HaDeshen? Omar Rav Nachman, Omar Rav Baravua Shlosha Beis HaDeshonim Heim. As far as burning the Karbonos are concerned, there are three categories of Beis HaDeshen. And we're not talking about the deshen of the Marocha, the Mizbeach, or the deshen HaMenorah. That's not included in this list. So first we have something called the Beis HaDeshen HaGodol. That was located in the Azorah. And Shom Sarfim Psulei Kodshei Kodshim Veimurei Kodshim Kalim. These are cases where the Psul took place in the Azorah, and the Sreifa therefore takes place in the Azorah. So too, in Parim HaNisrafim, Seirim HaNisrafim, Shira Behem Psul Kodem Zrika, if the Psul took place before the Zrika, before also it left the Azorah, now in all these cases there's a mechitza, which is called the mechitza zazora. It's almost like there's a klita. It's been taken over by the azora, and the sreif has to take place in the azora. That's called the Beis HaDeshen HaGodol. Again, it's not clear why we call it HaGodol. Maybe because it's in the azora. But let's take the first case, which is Psulei Kodshei Kodshim. And when we're talking about Psulim, it refers either to the Emurim or to the Basar of Achatos and Ola and Asham. For example, they became Tomei, or the Dam was Nishpach. We could also add Mincha to this list if it became Tomei, or they weren't Makta the Komets. And these are cases of Kodshei Kodshim. The same applies in a Murim of Kodshim Kalim, which require Haktorah al Gabi Mizbeach. And all this takes place, of course, in the Azorah. Again, this has nothing to do with the Basar of Kodshim Kalim, because that Basar goes out of the Azorah, is eaten anywhere in Yerushalayim. But when we're talking about Basar, for example, of Kodshei Kodshim, of Chatos v'yasham, which have to be eaten in the Azara. So the sreif has to take place in the case of a psul in the Azara. And this is derived in the Gemara Psachim from a pasuk Bekodesh by HT Sarif. Bekodesh by HT Sarif in Vayikra Perek Vav. And then we have the case of Basar of Parim HaNisraf of Syria Nisrafim. The psul took place before Zrika. The Zrika would normally be Mater, taking it out for Sreifa, but here the psul took place before the Zrika, so the Zrika cannot be Mater the Hotzah min Azara. It's considered Nifsalu Kodem Higiyaz Manom Lotzeis Michutz Azara. And now the Mechitza is the Mechitza Azara, and the Mokum Sreifa is in the Azara itself. That's category number one. Now we go on to category number two. Ubeis HaDeshen Acher Hoya Baharabayis, and this we've already touched upon before. Shom Sarfin Parvin Israf Asirin Israf Shebem Psul Yachar Zrika. In other words, the Zrika itself was Matir Hotsa Min Azara. And once you leave the Azara, then you get to the next level, which is called the Harabayis. And that's where we had the Bira. The Bira, which was the place for Sreifas, Parim, Nisrafim, Shenifsalu, and now we're talking about a case of Nifsalu Liachar Zrika. They're already removed from the Azara. There was no Psul before Zrika, so the Zrika itself is Matid Hotzol Azara, and now the Sreif is anywhere on the Harabayis, or the way we understood in Rabbi Yochanan, there's a specific place in the Harabayis, and that's where the Sreifa took place. That's called the Bira. Then we get to the third category of Beis HaDeshen, Ach Shehoya B'Harabayis, Shesham Sarfim. I'm sorry. Then we get to the third category, is the case of Chutz L'Shalosh Machnos. Now we're talking about Parim Nisrafim, B'Eis Sreifasim K'mitzvasam. In other words, there was no Psul. So we take the basa, the parma nisrafim, and the sira nisrafim, we take it out of three machnos. The Gemara is going to derive this later on in Daf Kuf Hei Amid Beis. And that's called the third Beis HaDeshen. All this is Rav Nachman. Now the Gemara quotes a brisa, Tana Levi. Levi brought a brisa that would contradict Rav Nachman. Shlosha Beis HaDeshonim Heim. Number one, we have the Beis HaDeshen HaGodol Shehoya Ba'Azara, Shom Sarfim Psulei Kodshim Kalim, and Psulim of Emurei Kodshim Kalim, excuse me, and also Basa Parim HaNisrafim, Sirin HaSraf Shibrem Psul Bein Kodim Zrika Bein Liachar Zrika. So this, according to Rav Nachman, was the second category where the Beis HaDeshen was somewhere located on the Harabayis, and there they would burn Parim HaNisrafim, where there's a psul liachar zrika, but here it says bein liachar zrika, that even if in Parim HaNisrafim there was a psul liachar zrika and the basar is still in the Azara, and therefore the sreifa, insofar as the psul took place in the Azara, takes place in the Azara itself. Now, we said before in Rav Nachman's frame of reference that the psul that generates a sreifa b'azara applies in a case where the psul was before Zrika. But if the psul took place after Zrika, which means that the Zrika itself was Mater Hotzah Min Azara, then it leaves the Mechitza of the Azara, and the Sreifa takes place in the Beis HaDeshen on the Harabayis. Here, in the Brice of Levi, where it specifically says Bein Liachar Zrika, meaning even if the psul took place Liachar Zrika, since the basar was in the Azara, the Sreifa is in the Azara. Whereas according to Rav Nachman, the very fact that there was a Heter Zrika, because the psul took place after Zrika, even though the basar is physically still located in the Azara, once it was a Heter Zrika, that's a theoretical concept, the Mechitza of the Azara is no longer relevant, and the Sreifa takes place in the Beis HaDesh and Bahar HaBayis. Whereas Levi, in his Braisa, he's looking at Lamaisa, where is the Basar at the time of the Psul? Not where the Heter Zrika took place, but where is the Basar at the time of the Psul? And if the Basar is still within the Azara, then the Sreifa is in the Azara. The same thing would apply, for example, if the basa became tameh, then the makom sreifa would be in the azara, according to the brisa of Levi. Levi goes on in his brisa to a second category of the harabayis, based on deshan achra yabayis shesham sarfim parim hanisrafim useirim hanisrafim she'erabhem psul biyitziyasa, meaning after the zrika and the yitziyah min azara. So once it leaves the Azara, then and only then has it broken out of the Mechitzos of the Azara, and the Sreif is in the Harabayis. And in the note over here, he quotes from the Zevach Todah, which is in the Likutei Halachos, that Kevon Shapar Eino Bikodesh V'Nifsal Ein lo shaychus lekodesh, meaning the sreif in the Azara requires that there be some relationship to the kodesh, to the status of the paris kodesh. But now it was nifsal, and it loses its shaychus to kodesh if it's outside of the Azara. As long as it's still in the Azara, it has a shaychus to kodesh. Here it's mimarvshach, it's pasul, and it's outside the Azara. It's like two strikes against you, and therefore it is ain dino lisarif b'azor, but rather dino lisarif b'harabayis. Then we get to the third category, and that's the classical case of parim usirim anisrafim kimitzvasam, and that's chutz l'sholosh machlos. That didn't change anything. In any event, we see clearly from this brisa that parim usram nisraf shenifsul be'azara, even though it's achar zrika, if it hasn't been removed from the azara, the sreifa is in the azara. Not like Rav Nachman, who holds that once it was a heter yitzia min azara, it's outside the mechitza of the azara. That's the theoretical matir, because the zrika was a zrika kshera, and the psul took place after the zrika. Is according to Rav Nachman, we broke out of the mechitzos of the Azara, and the sreif is on the harabayis. Now the Gemara presents a number of sveikos regarding the dinim of parim usi'irim hanisrofen. The first sofek has to do with the din of the basar, and does it lend itself to a psul of lina? Now the psul of lina means if you have kodesh that should be eaten within a certain period of time, or the akrava should be taking place, let's say, on a certain day, and the lila passes, it becomes pasul. And the source for this is the case of a korban chagiga, the emurim of a chagiga, which require aktar al gavi mizbech, and the Torah says in Shmos Chav Kimmel v'lo yolin chelev chagiyad boker, or for example, the Pesach, where there's a din of achil, it says lo sasiru menu ad boker, that's a psul of lina. But in the case of parim usi'irim and israfim, the basar doesn't lend itself to achila, it's burnt, as we said, outside of Shalosh Machnos. Is there a psul of lina? Boy, Rabbi Yirmiyah, lina mau shetoil bibasar. Does lina effectuate a psul in basar, which again is going to change the makom asreifa with regard to parim and nisrafin usirim and nisrafin. Again, the suffix of Rabbi Yirmiyahu never applied to the emurim. The emurim, it was a davar pashut that lina poselis. But as far as basar is concerned, shall we consider the basar parim and nisrafin usirim and nisrafin like all kodshim, and there's a psul of lina, which would mean that the sreifa would take place again in the Azara or in the on the or in the Harabais, but not chutz l'shelosh machnos, because of the psul of lina. Also, it's relevant to whether or not it's metame the begadim of the kohen who's involved in transporting the parim after shechita and taking them out of the Azara. Mi amrin, should we say ki mahanya lina bebasar debar achila? In all kodshim, where the basar generates a chiyuv achila, then there's a psul of lina if you leave over the basar beyond its allotted time. Avohani, but in the case of parim and nisrafin, sirin nisrafin, delechs, delav b'nei achila ninu, the whole din of basar here is sreifa, there's no din of achila, lo, and therefore there's no psul of lina. The psul of lina only applies to basar karma, which is omid l'achilas adam, like chatos, shlomim, etc. But in the case of achilas mizbeach l'aktara, in other words, there's no din of achil at all, they're not omid l'achilas adam, but rather to sreifa, there should be no psul of lina dimelo shna. Or perhaps we should insist that the din here is not different than any other din of basar kodshim and lina poselis. That's the suffix of Rabbi Yirmiyahu. Omar Rava ha milsi boilel Abaye. Abaye had already, well, I shouldn't say already, but Abaye as well had raised this suffix. Upashtina lemi ha. And when I spoke to Abaye, I had an answer for him from a braisa. There's a braisa that addresses a machlokas between Rav Shimon and Chachamim. This machlokas between Rav Shimon and Chachamim was presented way back in Zvachim on Daf Mem Gimel and Aleph with regard to Machsheves Pigul in a Chatos Pnimis. According to the Chachamim, such a Machsheva of Chutzlim Komo, I'm sorry, of Chutzlim Zmano, would generate pigul even in the case of chatas pnimis. Rav Shimon denies it. He says ainim fagelis. However, the Brisa says shavin. There's no machlokas between Rav Shimon and Chachamim shim chishev bachilas parim ubisreifasam shelo asa klum. That there's no machshava poseles ham fagelis even according to Chachamim. If at the time of the shechita the zrika, he had in mind to eat the basar tomorrow, or to be sorry if the basar l'machar, that's not a machsheves pigul. Even according to the Chacham, who validate, so to speak, a machsheves pigul in the case of chatas pnimis, but in the case of sreifas parim, of the case of parim and nisrafim, and of course Seirim and Esrafim as well, if the machshava of the kohen at the time of the Shechita the Zrika was to eat the basar tomorrow or to burn the basar tomorrow, that's not a machsheves pigul. Why? Because he's thinking about something that has no din of achilas adam. It's not similar at all to the machsheves pigul in basar karbonos in Zvachim HaNecholim or a murim akarbonos that have to be muktar al gabi mizbeach, or in this case where the din is not a parman, so it's not for achila but rather for sreifa. And now Rav wants to make the following analogy: my love, shouldn't we assume that midah machshava lo pasul mehem, just like there's no machsheves pigul on the achila the sreifa chutz l'zmano in the case of Parma Nisraf, because they don't lend themselves to Achila, is so too lo posla lina nami lo posla. Lina should be the same din. If he leaves over the basar for tomorrow, so then there's no psul, words, even though a machshava lechel or lisof lemachar normally would have been a machshava poselis in all karbonis, but in the case of parma nisrafin, it's not. And the reason why there's no pigul is because there's no lina poselis, meaning pigul is always a machsheves ha-shchita ha-zrika for a time that would be possible b'toris lina. So the machshavim fagelis is always standing on the shoulders of the psul lina. Now we find that there's no machshavim fagelis in the, according to all shitas, in the case where he has a machshavim to eat the basar chutz l'zmano. And that's not a machshavim fagelis because lina itself would not generate a psul. And therefore, there's no machshava poselis. So it's interesting when you read the Gemara's language, you might misunderstand the logical sequence here. It says mida machshava lo posel lina nami lo posel. You think that because machshava is the result of that cause is lina is not a poselis. It works the other way around. Because lina is not a poselis, therefore there's no machshava. No, since lina lemacher is not posel, there's no machshava lemacher that would be mefagelis. So it's only because ain lina poselis, therefore ain machshava poselis. In other words, the proof here of Rava, if machshava is not poselis, then it must mean that lina is not poselis. And therefore we have a pshitus on the suffix of Abai and Rabbi Yirmiyah. The Gemara rejects it. Stilma machshava hu delo poselav, a lina posla. In fact, lina is a poselis, even in the case of parma nisrafim, sira nisrafim. But there was no chiddush. The Torah never was machadish a psula machsheves pigul if he has a machshava on something that doesn't have a din of achilas or the machilas mizbeah. So therefore, we have to find another source to be poshet the suffix of Rabbi Yirmiyah, the suffix of Abaye. Toshma, let's bring a proof from a Mishnah in Me'ila. Parma nisrafim, sima nisrafim, mol in Bahem. There's Me'ila, and we'll see exactly when, at what point in time, in Parim hanisrafim, useirim hanisrafim. In other words, he'd have to bring a korban Me'ila if he had anah from these. And at what point, miyad, Mishahuktishu. Now, it's immediately after they were designated, and they have the status of a par and a sawyer that's brought bifnim, is immediately afterwards to have any anah from this animal, whether it be the he goat, whether it be the par, would generate a chiv karba me'ila. Now, at what point does the basar have the status of kodesh? Shenishchetu, mishenishchetu, meaning from the moment of shchita, is hukshru. Now, what's the status in this context of basar kodesh? Again, we're not talking about achila, because we're talking about parma nisrafim, but hukshru li pasal b'tful yom. Meaning, if there was a negi of someone who's a little bit tameh, I'll explain what I mean by a little bit tameh, then with regard to kodshim, basar kodesh, it becomes pasul. And that's a separate din of revi l'tumah that only applies to kodshim. Now, a tful yom is missing harif shemesh, as everything is prepared for his tahara, except that he needs Harif Shemesh. And before Harif Shemesh, he has what's called Tumah B'Miktas, which is the Tumah Posel's Kodshim Shenagu Bohem. And then we have the case of Mechusa Kapar, that Zav, Zavio, Lettuce Mitzor, these are before Tmeim, that in order to achieve complete Tara, they require to bring their Karbon. They also have a Miktas Tumah, which is a Tumah Posel's Kodshim Shenagu Bohem. And all this applies to Parma Nisrafim as well, Liachar Shchita. Ubelina. And here the Braisa seems to explicitly address our question, Rabbi Yirmiyah's question, that after Shchita, if the basar is left till tomorrow, there's a psul of lina. My lav lina's basar. Again, keep in mind, as we mentioned earlier, the suffek of Rabbi Yirmiya was vis-a-vis lina's basar, not vis-a-vis lina's emurim. So if we assume that this braisa, when it mentions the psul of lina in the case of parmenas sofer, is referring to the basar, then we will poshate the suffek of Rabbi Yirmiya. The Gemara says, lo, no. I'm going to reject and deflect this raya. Why? Because it's possible that what the Mishnah has in mind is not lina's basar, and lina ain't a poselos but basar in these cases of parmenas rafim, but rather lina's emurim. And lina is a poselos in emurim, those emurim that require haktar al gabi mizbech, if he delays the haktar till tomorrow. So Gemara says, but wait a minute, you know, you're only reading the Resha of the Mishnah, and therefore you interpret that this Mishnah is referring to Linas Emurim. But let's read the Sefer. Midiktani Sefer. What does it say in the Sefer of the Mishnah? Kulam, all these cases of Parah and Nisrofim, Malim Bahem, Bebeis HaDeshen, HaChiyutach HaBasar. The subject of this Sefer is explicitly Basar, and the issue is Me'ilah, at the time of Sreifas HaBasar. And we mentioned that we go out to the Beis HaDeshen, which is Chutz L'Gimel Machnos, to implement the Sreifa of the Basar, Parim HaNisraf, Vesirim HaNisrafim. And up until a certain point, meaning as long as the Sreifa has not been completed on this Basar, the Basar lends itself to Me'ilo, with a Chi of Karbon, if he's moral, if he benefits from the Basar. At what point is it no longer considered basar as far as me'ilah is concerned? Sheyutach habasar, right? It can be—it's completely burnt. He calls it in the Hebrew here yimas habasar. It's like it's melted, completely melted down. The Gemara is going to address this on Daf Kuf Vav, exactly the parameters of me'ilah and tumas begodin. But clearly, the Mishnah itself, here in the Sefer, is addressing the case of Basar, not talking about a Murim. And meet a Sefer Basar, Reishanami Basar. We should assume the integrity of the Mishnah. And even the Reish is talking about Basar. And it's explicit in the Reish that there's a Psul Lina in Basar. So Gemara rejects this, meet the Iria, Sefer B'Basar, Reisha B'Murim. We can split the Mishnah into two parts. When the Mishnah in the Reisha postulates a psul lina, it's talking about a murim. But that has no proof. There's no proof here for a psul lina in basar. In the Sefer, when the Mishnah is addressing the din of me'ilah b'shas reifa, then it's talking about basar. So we split the Mishnah into two parts. Now let's go back to Levi's braisa. Maybe we could determine this question, this issue about lina v'basar in parmenas rafim from Levi. Toshma, the Tani Levi, Bryce of Levi was, again, we're talking about the Beis HaDeshen in the Har Bayis, and if everything goes well with regard to the parmenas rafim, then the basar of the parmenas rafim, Sirim and Sofra, are taken out to the Beis HaDeshen on the Har Bayis. But ira bahem psul b'yitzi asam, if there was a psul in the parmenas rafim, b'yitziyasa, meaning when they left the azara, then the sreifa takes place not chutz l'gimel machnas, but rather in the harbayis, the Beis HaDeshen harbayis. So the Gemara says, what does it mean, erabahem psul? My love, shouldn't we assume that the psul and the brice of Levi is the psul of lina? In other words, after he took it out of the azara, he left the basar until tomorrow and they became posel, meaning that lina is poselis. So Gemara rejects that. Lo, psul tuma. The case of psul, of irabem psul, in this braisa is psul tuma. Upsul yitzio, or the fact that the basar was taken out of the azor before the zrika, that's also psul of yotze. And those psulim generate a din of Sreifa Barabais as opposed to Chutz L'Gimel Machnas. However, there's no indication here regarding a psulina. Now again, it's interesting that the Gemara accepts the logical distinction between the psul of yotzei and the psul of lina. Now, later on, the Gemara is not so convinced, not so certain about a psul of yotzei in par minestrophim, usir minestrophim. So this distinction is a bit iffy based on the sugi later on. Now he has a kasha here in the Gilyan HaShas of Reb Kiva Eger, because Reb Kiva Eger proves that it's impossible to learn this brisa as referring to psul yotzei, because the brisa is making a distinction between nifsal yachar zrika and nifsal kodem zrika. And if it became possibly yachar zrika before yitzia, and it was possibly din yotzei, now it was yotzei already, and the psul happened after the yitzia. So how do you logically call that a psul yotzei? That's Rabbi Kivega's kasha. Now, boy, Rabbi Lezer, this is going to be a major sugya now that we're up to. And that's the question of the psul yotzei in the case of parim usrafim, usirim and usrafim. Boy, Rabbi Lazar, yitzia, ma'u shetoil b'parim and usrafim, usirim and usrafim. If he removes the basar in these cases outside of the azara, is there a psul of yotzei? Again, this is all before zrikas hadam. So that the zrika would, if the carbon is pasul, the zrika cannot be matir, and then it becomes like kodshim psul. Now, exactly where the strafe would take place, if the psul took place with the yitzia min azara, in other words, assuming that there would be a psul of yotzei, then the din of Sreifa would take place in the Azar itself. Again, it's hard to understand exactly, you know, Gita v'yodah bar kachas, how there's a certain simultaneity between the Mechitza of the Azar being collate, so to speak, to require Sreifa in the Azara, and the din of Psul Yotzei, which means it was taken outside the Azara. But in any event, since it was taken outside the Azara before Zrika, again after Zrika there would be no, I'm sorry, after Yitzia, one more time, if there was Zrika and then Yitzia, the Yitzia would not be a psul of Yotzei, because the din is that we have to take this basar outside of Yerushalayim and burn it. So there would certainly be no psul of Yotzei. But if he took it outside the Azara before the Zrika, that's where there might be a psul of yotzei. And by the way, if there's a psul of yotzei, not only would there be a din of sreifa in the azara, but it wouldn't be metame begadin. And at this point, the Gemara says, "My kami boile," as if to say that there is really no genuine suffix. The Gemara is not willing to validate this suffix as is, as it was presented. In other words, the Gemara is saying, what's the tzad that there should be a psul yitzia? We have a principle called sofon lotzeis, meaning something that eventually will be taken out of the azara. And this is sugi of Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, back on daf pei tes amid beis. Rabbi Yochanan says that in the case of basar kochim kalim, which are eaten in all of Yerushalayim, there's no psul of yotzei if the basa was taken out before the zrika, because sofo lotzeis, because after the zrika it's going to be taken outside the azara. And therefore, applying that principle of sofo lotzeis to the case of parim nisrafim, usirim and nisrafim, then for sure there won't be any psul of yotzei, because it's sofo lotzeis. And the mitzvah here is to take it outside of Gimel Machnas and do the Sreifa. So anything that eventually be taken out of the Chatz, out of the Azara, would not have a psul of yotze, and therefore the Gemara thinks that it makes no difference whether they were taken out of the azar before the zrika or after the zrika. It's sofo lotzes, and therefore the Gemara now is forced to reinterpret Rabbi Elazar's question. Omar Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba aliba demandi Omar adayin lo higia zman lotzes, that Rabbi Elazar is standing on the shoulders of Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish, that back on Peites Amud Beis, disagrees with Rabbi Yochanan. He holds that the Bosom Kochim Kalim, even though they can be eaten anywhere in Yerushalayim outside the Azor, but that's only after Zrika, but before Zrika it has to remain in the Azorah, and there's a psul of Yotze before the Zrika, according to Reish Lakish, even though it's Sofer Lotzes. And now we want to know, would that principle of Reish Lakish that applies to Kochim Kalim apply equally to Parma Nisrafim, Usira Nisrafim? And even though it's Sofer Lotzes, it's going to be taken out of Gimel Machnos for Sreifa, nevertheless, there's a Psul of Yotze before Zrika, if it went out of the Azor before Zrika. So that's what the Gemara says. Aliva demand the Omer according to Reish Lakish adayin lo higia zman olotzes. That's the opinion of Reish Lakish, that there's no such din to be mafkir the psul of yotze as sofer lotzes if it's before zrika, because before zrika it's not considered sofer lotzes. Mi amrinin hani milu basar. Should we say that Reish Lakish only would say such a thing in the case of the Basar Kochim Kalim, Dien Sofon Lotzeis Chova? Because in truth, you can eat the Basar of Kochim Kalim in the Azara. There's no prohibition of eating within the Azara. It doesn't have to be taken out of the Azara. There's a Heta, the Torah allows you to eat the meat anywhere in Yerushalayim, even outside the Azara. So the Sofon Lotzeis is a kind of a weak Sofon Lotzeis, because it's not necessarily Sofon Lotzeis. There's no chova of Sofon Lotzeis. Avalhani, but here the Torah specifies the avoda of the basar is to take it out of Gimel Machtas and do Srifa. Srifa, Sofon Lotzeis, the chova, there's an absolute obligation to take it out of the Azara. They have to be burnt in the Beis Hadeshen. The basar in the outside of Yerushalayim is law. Maybe Reish Lakish would agree in this case that it's considered Sofer Lotzeis, because the Sofer Lotzeis here, even though it's before Zrika, in the case of Parma Nisrafim, is a lot stronger than the Sofer Lotzeis in Kochim Kalim before Zrika, because in Kochim Kalim, Mechatesi, how do you know it's Sofer Lotzeis? There's no chiv of Sofer Lotzeis. But in the case of Parma Nisrafim, where the essence of the Avod is to take it out there, and that's the whole purpose of the Zrika, is to take the Basar Chutz Migimel Machnos and be Soref it, is there that Sofer, it's a real bona fide heavy duty Sofer Lotzeis. Oh, Dilma, should we say Hachanami here too, lo igiyaz man Lotzeis, before the Zrika, you can't even imagine the concept of Sofer Lotzeis. That here, even Reish Lakish would give his a psul of Yotze and Parim and Esrafim, if it leaves the Chotzer, if it leaves, I'm sorry, the Azara before Zrika. Toshma, so let's take a raya from again Tony Levi. Levi said she'ira bo psul biyitzi also. In other words, there's a psul that took place after the basar left the azara. My la psul yitzia. We're not yet ready for tuma. But let's talk about a psul of Yitzia. Maybe the Bryce is talking about, Bryce O'Levy is talking about a psul of Yitzia. And it means that the basar was taken out of the Azar before Zrika. So the Gemara says, lo. And we could have written the next line in the Gemara. We're not talking about a psul of Yotze, but rather psul tum of psulina. Interesting, the Gemara before had a suffix where there's a psul of lina in basar. But here, the Gemara is assuming that there's a psul of lina, And for sure there's a psul of Tumah. So there's no proof here that the psul is Yitziah. Now it's interesting because the Gemara at the end of the day with regard to this Braisa never comes to any definite conclusion, neither with regard to the psulina nor with regard to the psul of Yotzeh. So we can't solve this riddle from the Braisa. And if you'll insist that the Braisa is referring to one of these psulim, either Yitziah or Lina, then I'm going to always tell you that maybe the Braisa is referring to the other psul. Or Bechlal, you could say the Braisa is referring to psul Tumah. So that's the end of this sugya of the Safek of Rabbi Elazar. Now the Gemara has a new Safek, which has to do with Tumas Begadit. And what am I referring to here? We're talking about the din of Parma and Nisrafim, Sirim and Nisrafim, where the Torah tells us, and we'll see the psukim and the derivations for this, that if the Kohen burns the we'll call him Mr. Kohen, who's involved in the Srefa of the Par or the Sawyer HaNisraf, then once the Shechita took place, Shechita and Zrika in the Azorah, now the boss has to be taken outside of Yerushalayim to be burnt, the Kohen, once the very moment he leaves the Azorah, carrying, if you will, the Basar, you can call it the carcass, of the Par or the Sawyer, he becomes Tameh. And again, you know, he's not even at this point involved in Srefa. I don't even know if at the end of the day he'll do the Srefa. But once he's carrying, he's transporting the carcass outside of the Azara, he, the Nose, the carrier, contracts Tumah. So basically what we're talking about is Tumah for anyone who's involved in the Srefa of the Par or the Sawyer, and anyone who's taking the Par of the Sawyer outside the Azara, he's in charge of transportation. And he also is susceptible to Tumah. The question is, and this is going to be the Safik again of Rabbi Elazar, by Rabbi Elazar, Parvin Nisrafim, Nisirin Nisrafim, Shiyotza Rubo. So it means Rubo means most of the Basar, you know, after he shechted the, was taken outside of the Azara. Now, the very moment the Basar goes outside the Azara, that's when the Kohen who brought it outside the Azara, who's carrying it, contracts Tumah. But here is Rubo. Okay, Rubo is usually Kikulo. The problem is, B'miut Eiver Mahu. It seems that there's one Eiver, one limb, and most of that limb remained in the Azara. It's only the minority, the small part, the Miut, that left the Azara. So again, one particular Eiver of the animal is Rubo inside the Azara, and Miuto is already removed outside the Azara. And now we're in trouble because in terms of setting up the Rubo, Yotza Rubo, which engenders Tumah, we need to get the entire Aver, just as physically. You know, it's in terms of the volume to set up Rubo of the corpse, of the carcass of this animal, we need not only the rove of that particular Aver, but we need all of that Aver. And here, miut of that Aver is still inside the Azara. So, hach miut di Aver basa ruba shadina le, do we have a right to say that since most of this Aver is already outside of the Azara, it's been removed, exited from the Azara, therefore we say Shadinan miuto basar ikro, and the on a halachic level alpidin the majority schleps the minority. So it's just the entire aver was outside the azara, and therefore rove of the carcass is outside the azara. and that would engender Tumah. Or shall we say no? That the Shadidon here, the determining factor is not the Aver itself, but rather the Behema. So at this point, the first side in the Suffolk Mi'utu di Aver Basaruba Shadinov Holo Nafkale. It's not considered Nafkale. In other words, if we consider that the miut of the Aver is in the same place as the Rov of the Aver, I stand corrected. I told you that most of the Aver went outside of the Azara and the miut was remaining inside. So please, I apologize, switch it around. It says here, Sheyotza Rubo Bimiut Aver Mahu. So what happened here is that only the miut of the Aver exited the Azara, and we need that miut to be Mashlim, the rove of the behema itself, or the carcass itself. And the Gemara is saying, Hach mi'uta di Aver basa rubo shadin. Now the rove is still inside the Azara. Okay, that's where I made the mistake. And if we say Shadina and mi'uta basa rubo, then it's as if the miut of the Aver, which is physically, in reality, outside the Azara, is considered al-pidin to be inside the Azara. And since without that miut of the Aver, the reality is that there's not enough of the animal that's outside the Azara, it's not a rove yet, and therefore in this case, there would be no din of Tumah. And that's what the Gemara says, holo nafkale, according to this first tzad, then, since the minority part is on its, is being, the minority part that left the Azara, again, I got to get that straight, is still considered to be Basar Ikro, or shall we say Basar Rubo, therefore, this miut, even though physically it left the Azara, this miut Aver, Alpidin, it never left the Azara. In that case, there would be no Tuma. O Dilma, Basaruba de Behema Shadina. There's a different din of Shadina. The Shadinon is not determined by the Aver itself, right, the majority of which left the Azara, but the status of the Mixas Aver, the Miud Aver that's in the Azara, is going to be determined by the Behema itself. Now, in this case, the behema is half in and half out. Go over the suffix again. The case is as follows. The carcass left the Azara. How much of it left? Well, it depends. If you look at the Basar minus the Aver, then it's not a rove, but this part of the Aver, a small part of the Aver, that left the Azara. If we mitzarif that small part of the Aver to the rest of the Basar, then we have a rove. The problem is that if we isolate the Aver and look at the Aver itself as one separate independent entity, and most of the Aver is still inside the Azara, we might want to suggest that even that miut is Shadinon, what's the language of the Gemara again? Basaruba Shadinon. It says, Miut the Aver, Basaruba the Aver Shadinon. It's if we look at the Aver itself as a separate entity, and most of the Aver is inside the Azara, so that we would define, therefore, Alpidin, the Miut of the Aver, as also being inside the Azara. And that's not good, because in order to generate the tumor, we need that the behema itself, the carcass of the animal, leave the Azara, and we only get the rove if we're mitzarif that Miut of the Aver that in reality is outside the Azara, together with the rest of that part of the Basa that's outside of the Azara. But we're holding now that Shadinon Aver Basar Aver, meaning Miut Basar Rov, in the Aver itself. And therefore that Miut Aver is considered Alpidin that it's still inside the Azara, and therefore those who are involved in this carcass at this point would not be contaminated with tumah. Odilma, or the Gemara's second says, no, that we're not going to look at the aver, the mixas aver that's outside, as being located where the rest of the aver, the majority of the aver is inside, but rather we shadin and basar ruba de behema, and we define the status and the location of the miud aver by the behema itself. And since the behema itself, again, this is a little tricky, but together with that miut is outside the azara, so the miut serves, or shall I say, is defined as a separate independent entity, that miut itself. And we're not going to say shadin and basar ruba di aver, but basar ruba di behem. The Gemara now goes ahead and clarifies the suffix by whittling it down a little bit. Pshita, you know, in one particular scenario, there's no question, it's certain. Lo shavkinon ruba de behema viazlinon basa ruba de varin. In other words, it's undeniable that yeshlanu lodun, when we want to know about the miut aver, and we have two choices. Either we define the miud aver as being slept along by the behema or being slept along by the rov aver, it's pshita that rov behema, that was never a suffix. And since rov behema is bachutz, it's metame. And again, this is all based on the halacha of chibur, as Rashi points out, that the aver is still attached to the body. Ella, so what is the suffix? She yotza chetzio berov aver. That the half of the behemoth of the core of the carcass and the animal that left the azara, that half is comprised by the aver that is mostly outside the azara. So there's only a miud bifnim. How do you calculate half of the carcass that left the azara? Is you have to be koil, you have to include in that calculation the aver that is mostly outside, but its miud is bifnim. So what's the suffix? Do we say hai mi uta di aver? Okay, here we're going to start kufhei yom and al. Hai mi uta di aver. Basar rov aver shadinele vanofkale. So again, we're talking about a case where the miut of the aver is inside the azara, right? Miuto bifnim. Let's underline those words, miuto bifnim, right? So what's the suffix now? Shall we say that miut bifnim is basarov aver shadina levanofikle? And if we do a shadina here and we consider that the miut of the aver is basarov aver, then it's as if the entire aver is bachut, even though again, b'mitzius in reality, part of the aver is bifnim. And as we said before, the part of the corpse of the animal has to include not only the rov of the aver, which is bachutz, but also the miut, which is bifnim. But we're going to say now that the miut bifnim is considered as if it's bachutz, because the rov of aver is bachutz. O dilma, shall we say basar behema shadin and lay, that the aver goes basa behema, and in this case the behema is chetzia bachutz and chetzia bifnim, and the part that's bachutz is bachutz, the parts that bifnim is bifnim, so we only have chetzia bachutz, and therefore it's not metame. And what we're saying here is that if you want to know whether or not we consider the miut that's bifnim, again, we always have to underline miut or bifnim as considered bachutz. So we're going to say now that since the robe of the behemoth is neither here nor there, meaning we're talking about the corpse of the animal, because it's exactly inside, half outside, so this miut aver therefore cannot be schlepped along by the behemoth, because the behemoth is neither here nor there. And therefore, in the absence of any sort of shadina in here, we're going to leave the miut aver wherever it is in reality. And now it's inside the azar, so we can't be mitzaref the miut aver to the part of the animal that left, the chetzi, to make up a rove. And the Gemara blibes with the teku. And there's no pshitas on this suffer. So let's go back to the pshita case. In what case was the pshita? He says that miur ha'ever was bachutz. That the Gemara claims is pshita, that you could be mitzarif the miur ha'ever bachutz together with the basar, which is bachutz, in order to set up a rov. And that's called lo shavkinon ruba de behema v'azli basa ruba de evarim. Even though most of the evar is bifnim, it doesn't matter. The miut that's bachutz is mitzurif to the behema to set up the rov. And in such a case, it would be mitame. But the case which is more complicated, the Gemara blibes with the teku, a safek, is the case where the miut of the evar is left inside, and here is a possibility of saying that that miut of the aver is basarov aver shadinan. In other words, most of the aver is already outside the azor, so that we can now schlep the miut aver and consider it as if it's at the outside, and then it would be mitame. Now the Gemara has a different nusach. Rabba Bar Rav Huna Masni Le, they have the suffix as referring to Gavri, to the men. What's the case? V'misaskim bo chamisha b'nei adam. We said that when the Kohen takes the basar of the Parmenis from outside the Azara on its way to Chutz Gimel Machzor, the way to Sreifa, it's Mitame. And here we have five people who are involved in taking the Basar of the power of the Sar outside the Azar. Three of them are up front, and they're holding the moat, you know, this pole, and they've already left the Azar, but the two in the back who are holding the other side of the pole are still inside the Azara. Is Nafku Tlasa Upashale Trey. So three are outside the Azara. Nafku, they left. And Trey, but two are still lingering in the Azara. What's the status of those two right at this particular moment? My Basar Rov Misaskim Azlinon, is there a loch of Rov even in Gavre? And since most of those five who are Misaskim, three out of five, are already outside the Azara, we can consider all of them as one unit, one group, and therefore to the same extent that the three are Mitami, so too the other two are Nitma as well. Oh, Basar Behem Azlinon, shall we say no? We don't set up a din of rov on the misaskim, but rather on the behem itself. So that if rov on the so even though there's rov misaskim that left the azar, that's not relevant. But we want to look at the basar and determine if Rov of the Basar has left the Azara. Now, what we're saying is that, just one second, that two of the five Misaskim are still left at this particular moment in the Azara, and yet the Gemara has a suffix, it's sad to say Basar Behema Azlinon. In other words, the two that are inside the Azara, do they become Tameh because the majority of their group is already outside the Azara? In other words, shall we determine the Tumah of each one of these people holding on to the moat and carrying the Basar in and of himself, independently, or do we view them as part of a group, and therefore the majority will determine the group? Now, our Mishnah had formulated the din that as long as you're inside the Azara, you're still tar. It's only when you leave the Azara you become tamei. But that's not relevant to us. You know, the Mishnah is referring to a situation where we have the equal number of people inside and outside, so there's no rov. Our suffix here of Rav Bar Avuna is where there's a rov. That is the next suffix in the Gemara. That's number three on our list. Now we get back to Rav Elazar to number four on our list. Another suffix with regard to Tumas Begadim in the Parim Seirim that went out of the Azara. Boy Rav Yirmiyah Parim Useirim Anisrafim Sheyatzu V'Chazrumau. So the Basar left the Azara and then it was returned into the Azara. And what's the din with regard to the Tumah of those who carried it out of the Azara? Mi amrin keva denafki lahu itmalu. In other words, the boss of the behemah was taken outside the Azara at that point, at that moment in time. Those who are misaskim, the carriers, are tamei, and that tumah remains. So dilma keva de hadur. That since the boss of the carcass was returned into the Azara a second time, then Lamafreya, we're going to establish that those who carried it outside the Azara were never Tame. In other words, we treat them as if they never left the Azara to begin with, and they're not Tame. So it means that we have to understand what's the status of Tumah regarding those who are not burning the Parmen Nisrafim, they're only carrying the Nisrafim. So it's the act of carrying that sort of like is the introduction, if you will, the beginning of the process of burning. So the involvement in transportation is considered Al-Pidin to be involvement in Srefa. And therefore we have the suffix of Rabbi Lazar that once you bring the Par V'Sar back into the Azara, then clearly the original removal on the first round when it left the Azara is not part of Srefa. You can't call it part of Srefa because it never culminated in Srefa. So the halacha that transportation of the Par V'Nisrafim is considered like Srefa is conditional on the fact that ultimately that transportation will culminate in Srefa. But if the Basar is brought back into the Azara, then he goyel milsa mafreya that carrying, that transportation was never part of the Srefa. And we're going to retroactively lemafreya be mitire the Tmeim. Or shall we say that once the burning process began and the tumah therefore was generated, we cannot undermine and neutralize that tumah even when the basar returns back into the Azara. Omar Rabbi Abba Bar Mamal, he wants to suggest a hachra based on a braisa, so Toshma. And again, we're talking about a case where the carcass of the Purim HaNisrafim was brought back into the Azara. I'm sorry, I mentioned the Braisa, actually the proof of Rabbi Abba is from our Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Hayu Sovlin Osan Bimotos, so they were carrying out the carcass of the Purim HaNisrafim on poles. Harishonim Yatsu Chutz L'Chomas HaZara V'Achronim Lo Yatsu Harishonim Sheyatsu Chutz L'Chomas HaZara Metam B'Godim Achronim Enim Metam B'Godim Ad Sheyetsu. So it's clear from our Mishnah that those who are in the front, and they already penetrated beyond the walls of the Azor, they're already out of the Azor, they become Tommy, but the Achronim, those who are carrying up the rear, they have not left the Chomas Azora, and therefore Einam Itam B'godin. V'Yisalka Daitach, Keva Denafkilu Itmu. If you're going to argue that since those who have left the Azora became Tommy, therefore the same din Tuma should apply to those. Just one second, I'm sorry, I'm getting back to the original stuff. Now we're talking about the Safek, where it went back inside the Azara. So if you're going to tell me that once it left the Azara, I mean, once the Karka left the Azara, and therefore those who carry the Karka, you know, when they leave the Azara, they become Tomei. And we're not going to say Lamafreya if when the carcass is returned into the Azara, Lamafreya, they're not Tomei. Is Hanach the Ika Gavoy Litame? If you're going to take that side in Rabbi Loza's Safek, that there's such a thing as Bitul Atumah Lamafreya, I'm sorry, no, this is no such thing as bitul tumal afreya. Once the carcass was taken out of the azor, it's metami, and that tumah is a done deal. Is hanach di ika gavoy litame? In other words, those who are still within the azor, what's called in our lashon of mishnah achronim. Shelo yatsu chutz me'azora is they should become tmeya. Because if you can assume that the achronim were still inside the azora are not tmeyim, the way our Mishnah formulates it, that must be based on the din. That must be based on the din. That if the carcass goes back into the Azara, it's as if it never left the Azara. So let me try to understand the logic of the Gemara. I'll read to you the Hebrew translation. He says, Hayitziyah tluya bepar atzmo velo benosav. There's on the side that in the case where the carcass went back in, we still say that since it left, and that engendered the tumah of the misaskim when they took the carcass out of the azara in a finale, as a final, even though the bosser went back in, those tmeim are remain tamei. Is if that be the case, then he says that the din of yitziah depends on the par itself, not on the carriers, meaning. What engenders tumah? Is it the fact that the carriers has taken the bus are outside the Azara and they're outside the Azara, or is it the fact that they were misaskim, they were involved in the Hotzah, and the carcass itself has left? If it's the latter, then we should say that even the Achronim in our Mishnah should be tummy. Why? Because they're part of the group of people who are misaskim. And the tumah is generated by the yitzia of the basar itself, not by the reality of where the nosim are located. Once the par is yotze, then even those who are still left bifnim should contract tumah. And that's against that Mishnah, because that Mishnah says the achronim remain tar. So we have to say, therefore, that the din of Tumah depends not just on the par and its location, but also on the location of the nosin. And the Gemara says, therefore, we should assume that in the case of Chazru v'nichnasu, if they went back in with the corpse of the animal, is Chazru v'nitarim, l'mafre they become tar. And that's why those who are inside, in the case of Ab Mishnah, are not Tameh. Shareihem kemisha yatsu v'chazru. In other words, the Gemara is establishing an analogy, an equation between the case of the nosim who take the basar back into the azor if they had left the azor, and the case of those who never left the azor. And in both cases, it's the same, meaning that we look at the location and reality of the nosim. So if you're going to say that chazru v'nichnasu, so now the nosim are inside the azara, then everything depends. The tumah, the saskim, was generated by the location of the nosim, and now the nosim are inside, and therefore they're not tameh with the whole l'mafreish spiel. And that's going to have an implication on our Mishnah and justify the fact that the achronim are tahor. But if I go the other way around and I say that even though chazru v'nichnasu, they remain tmeim, is therefore it would seem that everything depends on the par itself. And since there was a yitzia on the par, that generates a tumas nosim, and the tumas nosim generated by the par itself would apply even to the achronim, and that's against our Mishnah. Omer Avina, Ravina deflects this raya, and he says, V'tizbara. In other words, is this really a compelling proof? A be'ina, we have a pasuk in Vayikra Tezayin that says, V'achrichein yovo el hamachne. So in the context of the Tumas HaPar, where the Torah says that those who are osek in the par became tmeim with the hotzas par, that's only if the achrichen yovo el amachta. The Torah is adding a condition. When is there tumas nosim? That's only if it's the achrichen yovo el amachta. In other words, in the case where someone is still in the machna, then you cannot say the achrichen yovo el amachta because he's in the machna. So it comes out the reason for our Mishnah that underlies the din that the achronim are tahorim is not because it's if they came back in, but they cannot be metameh because since they're bifnim, it's not the achrichen yovel amachna. There's no possibility of their going back into the machna. So even though the par itself left the machna, since those two achronim are still inside, and we cannot fulfill with regard to these two, the achrich and yovel amachna, therefore they're not tmeim. So the Gemara here in the name of Ravina is establishing that the nosei doesn't become tamei unless he was nosei, carried the behemoth, the carcass, to a place where he can then re-enter into the machna. Now the ones in the achronim never left the Azara, so you can't say that they could re-enter it. And therefore we have this special miud here in the Pasuk. Let's just read the Pasuk again. It says, Yotzi el chutz lamachne v'sarfu ba'esh es orosam v'es besorim v'es pirsham v'asori frosam yichabes b'gode v'rochat besor v'mayim v'acharichein yovo el hamachne. Masha'inkin, in the case of the Yotzim Shechazru, there, what we're going to say is at least when they left the Azara, they were included under the Achrichen Yovel Amachna. They left the Azara, now they can go back into the Azara. So the Gemara now clarifies the suffix of Rabbi Lezer. Ela Rabbi Lezer, who had a suffix about Yotzim Shechazru, Hechi Boile, what was his case? In other words, it doesn't seem logical that he would have a suffix. And therefore, the suffix, says the Gemara, is not in a case of Chazru Hapar Venichnas Lazora. The suffix is as far as those who took out the par a second time around. No, it's not the first group that took out the par and then brought it back in, but the second group subsequently that's going to take the par out a second time around, they have the din of Tumas Pagodim. And perhaps even when they're in the Azara, because since the par already went out of the Azara one time, we could be machshiv those who are involved in taking out the carcass a second time around, as if the very moment they pick up the carcass for that purpose, they're already mitzurif to the Yitzia, and the Gemara is not even happy with that formulation of the suffix, because since they never left the Azara, the second group, and they're always bifnim, then once again we can't apply the principle of v'achar yovel amach, but rather the suffix is kagon dinikite le bibakulse, and this bakulse is some sort of a rod or a staff. And what happens is that the nosim mibachutz stretch these staffs into the azora where the par has been returned, and they themselves, the nosim, are outside the azora. The carcass is physically located in the azora, but once they're outside, now we can say that perhaps they would contaminate themselves. The only problem is they're contaminating themselves as a result of the par. So you're going to have to say the par is royal atame. So we could say that since it went back into the azora, the par, it's not royal atame, and therefore they don't become tame. It's like a par that never left the azora. Or should we say, now since it left the azora once, bringing it back in is not called a chazara, and it's metame the nosim, again, only on condition there at bachutz. That's why the Gemara quotes this case, this scenario of bakulsi, which they are bachutz, and yet they're being osek with the par. The par is physically bifnim, but al pidin it's as if it still remains chutz, because the chazara is not called a chazara. And with regard to all these four sfeikos that were brought in Asugya, the Gemara comes to no definite conclusion. They all remain sfeikos shelo nifshitu. Now the Gemara brings a brisa about tumas parim usairim. Now we're getting into the laws of tumah, and this is called like an avia vosa tumah almost, which applies not just to Parim and Israfim, Usirim and Israfim, it also is going to apply to the Soya Mishtalech of Yom HaKippurim. Tana Rabbana, we learned in the Brice of Parim, Usirim and Israfim, Upara Aduma. Oh, I forgot to mention Para Aduma. The Soya Mishtalech. So we have three categories here. HaMishtalech, the one who sends out the Soyer, and HaSorfan, in the case of Parim and Sirin and Israfim, who burn the par, or in the case of Paraduma, the person who's in charge of burning the Paraduma, Vamotzion, and also the carriers, you know, those who are involved in the transportation of the Parim and Israfim from the Azara, all of these are Metame Begodim. And he writes here in the footnote, Hainu Shu Nitma Bi Atzmo. One second. Right, mitame begodim, haynu shu nitma bi atzmo, umitame es hakelim o habegodim shu nogea behem bi eis hashiluach or bi eis hasreifa, bi eis hotzah. So while they're involved in shiluach in the case of Sarya Mishtaleach, or sreifa in the case of Parim Nisraf in the case of Paraduma, or Hotza in the case of Parim Nisraf, to take him out of the Azara, at that moment they engendered Tumas Begodim. But Li'achar Sheposak Mikach, as soon as they complete their involvement, then the Tuma goes down to the Madrega of a Rishon Latuma, which is not Mitame begadim or kelim, it's only mitame ochlin umashkin. Okay. Now, in the case of paraduma, the Torah says explicitly that both the shochet of the paraduma and the soref, and also the osef is ha'efer, are mitamim begadim. That's in Parshas Chukas Bamidbar Yates. And in the case of Sarah Mishtaleach, the Torah says explicitly, Hamshaleach Yechabes Begadov. That's in Parshas Acharei Mos. Then the Braisa continues and says, Vehein Atzman Ein Mitamim Begadim. So again, if we're talking about the people who are involved, as we said, on one level or the other, whether it's shiluach, whether it's reifal tzah, etc., that's one thing. And during the time they that they're involved in those things, they're mitame even begadim, even kelim begadim. However, if we're talking about the par itself, well, again, the sar itself, then ain a mitam begadim. If, let's say, a beged was thrown onto the par aduma or onto the par menisrafim, then that beged remains tar. Only the misaskim, who were involved in the otzah, the sreif, etc., they become tmei. But nogim, if there was an agia to the par itself, that would not generate tumas begadim. We'll see about ochlin umashkin later, because ochlin umashkin is going to be a gigantic controversy between Rabbi Meir and Chachomim in the second part of this braisa. That's what he writes here. He says, "Rakam is asking b'otza osam u'b'srei sosam tmeim v'lo anogim o anosim osam." So the key to generate tumas begadim here is his haskus. But in the absence of his haskus, all you have is negia, that does not generate tumas begadim. Oh, comes along Rav Meir and he says, what happens if ochlin umashkim came in contact with these parim hanisrafim? Aval mitamimim ochlin umashkim divrei Rabbi Meir. Although the par itself, through its negia, is not mitame begadim and kelim, but it is mitame ochlin umashkin, according to Rabbi Meir. The chachomim omrim, chachom make the following distinction. It all depends. Para uparim mitame ochlin umashkin, but sorry, mishtalech eno mitame ochlin umashkin. Neshehu chai v'chai eno mitame ochlin umashkin. The Chacham accused Rabbi Meir of going one step too far, because Rabbi Meir implies that in all these cases, including the case of Sarah Mishtaleach, the Negia would be Metame Ochlin Umashkin. And here's where the Chacham say he went too far, because the case of Sarah Mishtaleach is the case of a Chai, the animal's alive. And a live animal is not Metame Ochlin Umashkin. There's no Tumah for a Chai at all. So that even though Chacham would agree in the case of Parim and Esrafim and Seirim and Esrafim, that's after the Shechita took place, the animal is dead, then it could be Metame Ochlin Umashkin B'negia, but not the Sayer HaMishtaleh. So let's just say a few words in general about Avas HaTuma, and I think that'll help us in the next few lines of the Gemara. Now, Avas HaTuma, as outlined by the Mishnah at the beginning of Kelim, have the most powerful scope of being mitame. They can be mitame through Maga, Adam, Kelim, and Ochlin. However, there are Avas HaTuma which are not yet Avas HaTuma. They have the potential of becoming Avas HaTuma. So for example, we talk about Purim, Useirim, HaNisrafim, at what point do we say that they have the status of an Av HaTuma and a Metame even Bgadim, which means even the Kalim, even the Bgadim that they're wearing, and again we're talking about the Oskim Bahem. And it's a funny kind of thing, because the moment, the critical moment in which we define the par as an Av HaTuma is only the moment that the Misaskim are actually befall being Oskim. And the Soyer Lazozel of Yom HaKippurim has also the status of an Av HaTuma. And with regard to the Sholeach and with regard to the Sorev, the Soyer Lazozel is Metamib Godim as an Av HaTuma. We also have another case, which we're going to pick up, and that's called the Velas Of Tar. In other words, it became an Avela without Shechita. It's an Of Tar, a kosher bird. And that has the Tumas Beis Ablia. That also gives it the status of an Avatuma. To be Metami the Begod. Now, in the case of the Paraduma, The par itself is metame those who are involved in the Srefa Sapara. And the tomb itself needs a certain maisa, so to speak, that generates that tuma and elevates the tuma to the status of an avatuma. Before that maisa is implemented, there's no lechora status of an avatuma, and therefore we're going to call it sofei litame betuma chamura, as we'll see in the Gemara. In other words, there will be a tuma chamura, even though at present there is no tuma chamura, but the fact that there's a potential that down the line it become a tuma chamura, that itself might engender and generate certain new dinim. So the Gemara says the following. Bishlema, just one second, let's just get the place here. Okay. So wait, one more note over here. If you're talking about the Paraduma, we said before the Pasuk in Bamidbar Yutes is explicit. If you're talking about the Soyer Lazozel, the Pasuk in Achrimos is explicit. Again, in Paraduma, it's the burning of the Paraduma. In the Soyer Lazozel, we're talking about the person who's in charge of Shiluach, of sending the Soyer Lazozel, also the Soref. Now, when we leave out Soref for a minute, we're talking about Chatos Pnimios on Yom HaKippurim, then we send the basar outside of three machtos, and there we do the sreifa. And the Torah likewise says that the soreif is metame, as far as his begodim, the clothes that he's wearing. Then you have par kohen Moshiach, which is also a case of a chatas hapnimis, or a par helim dover shel tzibur. And in this case, the one who burns them is tame, and that's derived from the pasuk that we mentioned earlier. And then we have a pasuk for the tuma of someone who carries and transports the seirim and the parma nisrafim. Okay. The Chachamim say, in the case of Soyer Lazozel, insofar as the animal is still chai, it's still alive, the only transmission of tuma that we find for someone who's alive, that's only a person, a human being, but not an animal. An animal is only capable of transmitting tuma after its death. So Bishlem le Rabbi Meir, the Gemara now actually finds itself more comfortable with Rabbi Meir's shita because of a brisa, Kiritani Debei Rabbi Shmuel. We learned in a brisa of Rabbi Shmuel, Al Kol Zera Zarua, Al Kol Zera Zarua. This is the parashah in Vayikra Yud Aleph. V'chi yipol minivlosom al kol zera zarua asher yizra tohar hu v'chi yutan mayim al zera v'nafol minivlosom olav tomei hu lachem. The Torah is telling us that there's something called a hechsher lekabel tuma. It means that the nevela of a sheretz is not metami zroim, if let's say the sheretz fell on seeds, unless these seeds were already wet. And when we say wet, we're talking about any of the seven machshirim that are listed at the beginning of the sixth parak in Masechta Machshirim. And again, this din doesn't apply only exclusively to zroim, but to any foodstuff. And therefore, when we talk about zroim, is ma zroim ein she'ein sofa litami tuma chamura utzrichem hechsher af kol she'ein sofa litami tuma chamura tzricha hechsher. Now this din, the requirement of hechsher kabel tuma, which is formulated in the Torah in the case of zroim, I call zera zarua, is not limited to zroim. Any machal, any foodstuff, has to be mukhshal kabel tuma by becoming moist with the contact of one of the sheva mashkin. So the question is, why did the Torah single out zroim here? What are we meant to derive? And the Brais Rabbi Shmuel says, ma zroim she'ein sofan litame tuma chamura utzrichem hechsher. So for example, tuma chamura means a tuma that could be mitame odom v'kelim, odom u'begodim. That's considered a tuma chamura, and that's avos hatuma that a mitame even odom u'begodim u'kelim. And then we have something called tuma kala, otherwise known as a vlada tuma, which means a rishon l'tuma, sheni l'tuma, etc. That's not mitame odom v'kelim or begodim, but rather ochlin u'mashkim. Zroim can never be mitame a tuma chamura. Even if the zroim would come in contact with a mess, which is aviyavos atuma, it could never be metame tuma chamura to be metame odom v'kelim. If odom v'kelim have contact with a tuma chamura, with a mess, excuse me, an aviyavos atuma, they are metame a tuma chamura. And the drasha in the parsha, in the psukim of tumas mess, teaches us that only that which has tahara b'mikvah, that means odom v'kelim, are mitame tuma chamura when they come in contact with a mess. But zroim and other ochlin u'mashkim that don't have tahara b'mikvah can only be mitame tuma kala and not a tuma chamura. And that's what it says here in this price. Yisroim she'ein sofin l'tami tuma chamura, that Zroim, even if they come in contact with an avi avosatum, with a mess, nevertheless they can only be metame ochlin u'mashkim. They can never be metame odom v'kelim. And utzrichim hechsher, that we need that they come in contact with mayim or the like, and then if they come in contact with tuma like a sheretz, they contract tuma, is af kol she'ein sofa l'tami tuma chamura tzricha hechsher. So that's the general rule, that all ochlim which are not metame tuma chamura to be metame odom b'kelim, they need a hechsher, they need a sinas mayim, and then the maga betuma will be metame them. Yotzasa, however, we can exclude one case of something that needs hechsher, that does not need hechsher, meaning the klal is that everything needs hechsher, but the exception to the rule is nivlas of torsh sofal tami tuma chamura, that if somebody eats the nevela of an oftar, then it's metame himself and his begodim, and that's called tuma chamura, v'eina tzricha hechsher. In other words, in order to be metame ochlin u'mashkin, if these Ochlin Umashkin have a magad, a contact with the Nevelis of Tar, they become Tmeim, these Ochlin Umashkin, even though Lo Noga Ba Tuma Cheres Velo Bo Le'amayim. So therefore we can understand the logic of Rabbi Meir, that since the Parim HaNisrafim, or the Siri HaNisrafim, or for that matter even the Sarah Mishtaleach, is so fun, using the language of Rabbi Shmuel, so fun Litame Tuma Chamura, because those who are going to be involved in them will become Tame, and that means the capacity to Mitame Adam, which is reflective and defines the Tuma Chamura, is therefore they don't need Hechsher Tuma. And not only that, we can go a step further, and they don't even have to be Ru'im Lekabel Tuma. They can be Tame even when they're alive, Chayim, like the Sarah Mishtaleach, even though as a general rule, a Bal Chai is not Mekabel Tuma B'Shum Makom. And basically, what we're getting out of this Braisa is that we have this concept of Sofa Litame Tuma Chamura, means eventually it's going to be an Avatuma, and the carcass, in the case of what I mean a carcass is an avail, in the case of an oftar, doesn't need the normal conditions that require susceptibility for Tuma, Hechsher L'Kabel Tuma. And why is that? Because the Nevelis Oftar is Sofo Leos Avatum, if it's eaten by a person and it's Tumas Beis Hablius Metame Odom Ubgadim. So even though right now, in its present state, nobody's eating the Nevela here of the Oftar, so it's not yet an Avatuma, but since Sofo it will become an Avatuma, therefore we we ignore, we lift and relieve the normal conditions, the preconditions that are necessary. For example, the Hechsher L'Kabel Tuma with the Zayin Mashkin, and that's called Sofo Leos Avatuma, which again is only if he has Tumas Beis Hablia. And we don't need this halacha of Hechsher L'Kabel Tuma to render it susceptible to Tuma, which normally would apply here. In other words, it's automatically considered Tame on the level of a Rishon L'Tumah that could be Metame Ochlin U'Mashkim, a Tumah Kala, even though there's no Hechsher L'Kabel Tumah. So we see we're leaving the conditions that normally apply, because it's Sofa Leos Tumah Chamur, it's going to be an Ava Tumah. And therefore, Rabbi Meir could apply this structure to the Sarah Mishtaleach, that the Sarah Mishtaleach is Sofa Leos Avatuma, to Mitame Adam Ubgadim, of the person who Sorefid, the person who takes it out to the Azazel. And therefore, if something comes in contact with the Sarah Azazel, even when it's alive and well, it could become Tame, and we remove the principle that a chai is not metame. So even though in general the principle is that an animal that's a bal chai is not considered tame, but in the case of the sar lazozel, that's the exception to the rule, and it can be metame, meaning that from the teaching of this brisa of Rabbi Shmuel becomes clear that something that's sofo leos avatoma, you don't require the usual conditions and preparations to make it fit for Tuma. And therefore, in the case of Sar Lazozo, we're going to again relieve or omit those conditions, namely that a chai is not metame. That's the shita of Rabbi Meir. So now, the Gemara wants to sort of defend the shita of the Chachamim of Rabbi Meir. El Rabbanon I islu de Tani de Bei Rabbi Shmuel. If they accept the principle of Tani de Bei Rabbi Shmuel, that's something that's Sofo Leos Avatuma, it's able to be metame ochlin umashkin, even when normally it would not be metame ochlin umashkin. And that's the that reflects the principle here formulated by Tana de Rabbi Shmuel. Is then afilu sarim ishtalech? They should have gone as far as to accept Rabbi Meir's principle that the sarim ishtalech is metame ochlin through maga because of sofolios avatuma. But he lesley, if they reject this principle of sofolios avatuma, is afilu parim e paru meaning the parabaduma and paramanisrafim minolan? How do they know that these can be metame ochlin, meaning that they could be metame ochlin even if the nosim have not yet gotten involved? It's pre this askus of srefa of the nosim or the sarfim. Obviously you're anticipating a power of tumah that's going to come down the line when they are misaskim v'sreifa, and even earlier before that, you're already being metame ochlin b'maga. So it seems that the chachamim are embracing the shita of Rabbi Shmuel. Why don't they therefore extend it to the case of soil azazel? So the Gemara, in order to defend the Chachamim, they have to reinterpret the Braisa of Rabbi Shmuel based on Rav Dimi. Ki also Rav Dimi, Amri b'marova, he quotes the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael, Tzrichem hechshe tuma mimakom acher. That when the Braisa of Rabbi Shmuel says that if it's not going to be so fun be'avat tumah, you need hechsher tumah. If it's not destined to generate tumah as an avat tumah, then you need hechsher. What they meant is they need hechsher mimakom acher, from another source. And this is in contrast to something that is destined to become an avat tumah. It doesn't require what we call Hechsher tumah mimakom acher. They can generate their own tumah.